Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
And as we continue to celebrate in this great way and just live in the life of the resurrection, we really get a chance to meditate over what does it mean to live in the resurrection, the glory that is being offered to us. For here in a few moments, we will profess our faith and we will say, "I believe in the resurrection of the body." And so in that, we're not just talking about the risen body of Jesus Christ himself, but we're professing faith in the fact that we are being called, we are being invited to live the resurrection ourselves one day. And so we can see then in how Jesus is acting here, quite possibly we're still on the very first day, maybe we're a few days after the resurrection. It's a little hard to tell from this gospel passage, but it's very early on. And Jesus is all over the place. There is no physical explanation as to how he's able to get to the places that he's getting, how he's able to traverse such incredible distances. Because the resurrected body is one that is not limited as our current fallen bodies are. But instead, after the resurrection, after Jesus comes again, after he brings our bodies out of the grave, glorifies them, and reunites them with our soul, we will become like angels in the sense that we get to move about at the speed of thought. You want to go somewhere in paradise? Think about it. Boom, you're there. It's how Jesus is getting around all these places. It's how he gets into the upper room when all the doors are locked, when all the windows are closed. Because he's not moving about in the way that you and I do. Now it's glorified. And he's moving about at the speed of thought itself. And this is worthy of our contemplation because as the apostles are experiencing this, they cannot make any sense of it. The only thing that they can come up with is, well, clearly he's a ghost because he's not moving about as physical beings do. And so Jesus has to prove to them and say, no. We become like angels. We don't become angels. We become like them. We still maintain our physical existence after the glory of the resurrection. And so he shows him his hands and his feet and he says, "Come and touch me." And then he says, "Let me eat something in front of you." A ghost cannot eat a thing. Only a physical being can do so. And so Jesus is proving time and again in all of these amazing appearances, he's showing us the glory that is waiting, the glory that we look forward to someday. And this is the reason why, when someone passes away, we take very careful care of the body itself. That we bury the body in the ground. Or if the body is cremated, we lay it to rest in a mausoleum. We don't scatter the ashes. We don't plant the ashes under a seed so it becomes a tree. We don't turn the ashes into a necklace that we wear around. And we certainly do not divide the ashes and each take a little piece home and put grandma on the mantle. We place the body at rest. To see the glory, to remember that the end is not death itself. That at death, our body and souls are separated. But because of Christ, that does not have to be the end. We look forward to the resurrection of the body itself. And so Jesus is welcoming us into this to reflect upon what it is that is promised for those who actually follow in the path of Christ himself. For we hear in our second reading today that if we wish to be like Christ, if we wish to be in relationship with him, if we wish to love him, we have to live according to what Christ has said. No one can say, I know Christ, and still break the commandments. No one can say, I am a Christian, and still decide that we're going to choose our own morality, that we're going to go our own path. Jesus says, if you wish to receive the glory that is being offered, you must follow me. As we hear in the Gospel of St. Luke, we must take up our cross daily and follow after it. For the cross is that one thing that continues on. Notice, both last weekend and this weekend, as Jesus appears, they have a hard time recognizing him because he doesn't look like he did the last time that they saw him. The last time that they saw him, as they were laying him in the tomb, he was covered from head to toe with wounds, wounds from the scourging, wounds from the crowning of thorns. Every drop of blood that Jesus had been drained from his body at that point, and he was barely recognizable because of what he underwent on Good Friday. But then when he raises from the dead, it's all wiped away. For in the body of Jesus Christ, we see with our own eyes what we will come to understand so much later. As St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, as she's having these beautiful visions of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and she's really trying to understand what's going on and see what's happening in her life, she's having these great conversations with our Lord, and finally he says, you need a spiritual director. Go to this priest. And so she goes off to him and she goes into the confessional. She makes her confession. She says, oh, and Father, our Lord has told me that you are going to be my spiritual director. And at that moment, the priest is a little skeptical. Because as priests, we hear a lot of crazy things. Because there's a very fine line between insanity and the glory of God. Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. And so as priests, we hear all of these things, and sometimes the heart can become a little hardened. And he was starting to doubt a bit. And so he fulfills the words of St. Paul, where he says that we are called to test every spirit. And so speaking to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, he says to her, okay, you say that Jesus is appearing to you. He's trying to discern if she's crazy or not. He says, here's what I want you to do. Next time Jesus appears to you, I want you to ask him a question. Ask him, what is the last sin that I confessed? Something that only God himself would know. So he sends her on her way. And so she goes back to the convent, and sure enough, Jesus appears to her again. She has this beautiful vision, has this beautiful encounter. At the very end, she says, oh, and Lord, the priest you sent me to, he's having a hard time believing this is true. He wants me to ask you a question. What is the last sin that he confessed? And Jesus gives the answer, and she goes back to the priest. He says, oh, you have the answer. What is it? And she responds, and she says, our Lord looked at me and said, I don't remember. Because when we bring our sins to our Lord, when we bring them humbly into the sacrament of confession itself, when we trust our Lord so much that we're able to throw our sins into the fire of his mercy, it's not as if he takes that and says, all right, I'm going to overlook that, but we're going to hold these over here until the end of time. We're going to put them on this side of the scale, which is turned way down, but you need to go do some more good things so that hopefully it evens out, and maybe I'll let you in at the end of time. That's what most people think salvation is. As long as I have more good than I have bad, I'll be okay. But that's not what Jesus does. When we humbly bring our sins to him in confession, he throws them into the furnace of his mercy, and they are obliterated. Just as when he's risen from the dead and his body is glorified, the marks of the scourges, which represent the sins that we throw onto the body of Christ, the marks from the crown of thorn, those 1-inch thorns that were so strong that they actually pierced the skull of Christ as he was being mocked in that moment. Just as we can so often mock our Lord, we can blaspheme against him and his church. All of those wounds that we throw onto Christ, they are obliterated in the power of the sacrifice of the cross itself. The wounds we cause, he is willing to forgive and to demolish for all of time if we humble ourselves and go to confession. And yet, as Jesus appears, a few wounds do continue on. He shows him his hands and his feet. The wounds that Jesus chose to take upon himself, when he freely chose to go to the cross to make a sacrifice of his life for us, those he carries into eternal life with him. For the sacrifice of Jesus that won us our salvation, this is not some event that's frozen in history. This is not something that happened in the year 33 AD and we just simply remember. It's an ongoing sacrifice that continues to this day. That as we continue to sin, as we offend our Heavenly Father, the Son stands next to him and he shows him his hands and his feet and he says, this is what I did for them. Heavenly Father, let me show them your mercy. Let me bring that to them. It's why we have devotion to the sacred wounds of Christ. We see here on the Easter candle that these little nodules of incense are a reminder of what Jesus continues to carry, those wounds in his sacred body to this day, wounds that he allows to stay open so that he can continue to save us. But in our gospel today, we only hear of 4 wounds, his hands and his feet. There's one that is not mentioned, the wound in his side. One that we heard about last week as doubting Thomas is struggling to understand the reality of the resurrection. And the same invitation is given last week as is given this week, where Jesus says, come and touch me. Encounter the glory of the sacrifice that has been made. And interestingly enough, in both accounts, we never have confirmation that Jesus is ever actually physically touched. But I would put money on the fact that Thomas did actually place his finger in the hand marks. He did place his hand in the sacred side of our Lord. Because immediately after that encounter, he became one of the greatest defenders of the faith. I wonder about the disciples in the gospel today. Did they have the bravery to approach Jesus and encounter the gift of salvation. For unlike Thomas, we don't know their names. Did they continue on? Did they follow our Lord? Did they have that true conversion that St. Thomas had? Can't say either way for sure, but it causes us to pause and reflect. For it's easy for us to understand and to reflect upon and to see everything that we have just heard is true. The question is, are we willing to encounter the wounds of Christ? To entrust ourselves to be placed within his side? To allow a deep conversion to occur? For how easy it is to come to Mass and just go through the motions. How many prayers have already been said? Did we actually pray them? What about our first reading? I didn't mention it yet today. Do you remember what it's about? Or did it just wash over us? We've already sung some hymns. Did we even open up the hymnal to praise God? Are we entering into these sacred acts of worship? Are we entering into a true encounter with Jesus Christ that is going to totally and completely transform us and give us the power and the glory of the resurrection? Or is our faith dead? That we're too afraid to encounter Christ? That we have joy in the moment, knowing that he is risen. But then when we go out into the world and someone says, "Oh, you're a Christian," we recoil back. We pull away. We never proclaim the glory of what is being offered to us. My dear brothers and sisters, we are given a faith that is alive, that is not dead. Jesus continues to live in this day, and that is what we continue to celebrate in this Easter season. The truth that Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let us bring that glory out into the world this week. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.